Chinese checkers, God, and me. For years, my family used to play board games every Sunday. There was one game in particular that used to really frustrate me, Chinese checkers. Now, it's not a very hard game to play. All you need are 2 to 6 players and enough marbles for each player to fill up his or her home space on the board. The object of the game is simple enough. Be the first player to hop all your marbles across the board and into the opposite space. Of course, there are only a few ways to move your marbles. You can move them one space at a time in any direction, so long as the space is directly connected to the space the marble already occupies, or you can jump over another marble. If you're lucky enough, you can jump over several marbles in one move. That's always the fastest way to get across the board. The biggest challenge in the game is getting to jump over the long line of marbles before one of your opponents either blocks your move or moves his or her own marble out of the lineup. For years, my mother was the champion Chinese checkers player in my family. It didn't matter how many of us played, she would always win. In fact, it became a running joke that she was playing by herself, while the rest of us just happened to be playing on the same game board. That's where my frustration came from. It didn't bother me until I consistently started coming in second. I wouldn't say I was overly competitive, but being second all the time was driving me crazy. Eventually, I came to the conclusion that I was just distracted by all the other marbles. So, I began begging Mom to play a game of Chinese checkers just with me. She still won. My determination grew. I can't count the number of times I challenged my mother to a one-on-one game, thinking that this time I had a winning strategy, only to rue the day with a good trouncing. There were even a few times that I nearly cried in annoyance because I just couldn't seem to beat her. I just knew she had some secret to winning that she refused to tell me. No matter what plan of action I had, she always seemed to counter it with ease. Mom, bless her heart, is a great sport. Not once has she rubbed it in that she is so much better than the rest of us. Finally, one day, irritated at being beaten yet again, I asked her how she had learned to play so well, hoping she would finally divulge her close-held secret. She said she had learned all about playing Chinese checkers and a number of other games from her dad. Granddad, apparently, was also a champion game player. At last, her secret was out. She had been trained by the best. Unfortunately, knowing that didn't help me any. After all, Granddad had passed on years before, so he certainly couldn't show me how to play. That's when I decided on another course of action. I figured that if she had learned from Granddad, then I could surely learn from her, on the sly, of course. I watched. I waited. I schemed. I plotted. I tried every strategy I could think of to win, yet still I kept losing. Every move she made seemed perfectly timed. She never spent long minutes agonizing over her move, not like me. She didn't sit and alternate her gaze between the board and the others like some champion poker player, weighing the odds of how her opponents might move as I did. She was a picture of efficiency, even when carrying on an animated conversation with the rest of the family. I just couldn't fathom how she did it. The one day, I finally understood. I'm not sure how I figured it out, but it was like a light bulb went on in my head. My mom never played to win. That day, as I watched her jump over my string of marbles for the umpteenth time, I discovered that she had no opponents. What we had been saying all along was really true. My mother played her own game, while the rest of us duked it out on the same board. From then on, it became just a hop, skip, and a jump to winning the games myself. I went from losing every game to winning most of them. Now, I even played 2 or 3 sets of marbles at once, while everyone else plays just one. What's my secret? I play my own game. Life is a lot like Chinese checkers. So often we find ourselves playing the game, usually opposite someone else. We work hard to make family members happy, using our time to weigh the odds or read the other person to get a better handle on the situation. Most of the time, we do that as a means to create what at least appears on the surface as harmony, which is definitely not a bad thing. Oftentimes, however, that harmony isn't real, because although the other person seems satisfied, we are not. By playing the game, we're continually reacting to someone else, and that isn't satisfying. It's not isolated to just families either. When we were young and in school, we worked the social scene, either by trying to please the popular crowd or rebelling against it, and usually that meant being part of a group of friends who would help us make that decision. Sometimes that friendly advice was good, but a lot of times I found it wasn't so helpful. In fact, it often ended up in me, and probably many others of us, receiving a lecture. I would bet that there isn't one of us who hasn't heard an irritated parent say something like, "If your friends decided to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, would you jump too?" In translation, of course, that parent was asking us if we thought going along blindly with the crowd was the best thing for us. We, of course, were just doing our best at playing the game, trying to win at being accepted. When we enter the workforce, we find our lives changing, but the game remains very similar. We may joke with coworkers behind the boss's back, or we may try to get in good with the boss by keeping an eye on our fellow workers. Or maybe we simply keep our head down and do our absolute best at the job we have with the hopes that our good work will be noticed. In each case, we are continuing to react to what we think others expect from us. The game is still alive and active in our little world. And let's not think that the game somehow skips church. A good example of playing the game in church might be when we're in Sunday school and choose not to say anything for fear that others will think what we have to say sounds dim-witted, or participating in a group activity in which we disagree with a chosen method of accomplishing something, yet we remain silent simply because we don't want to rock the boat. You can even see the game played when shopping, going to a movie, or eating at a restaurant, as employees try to please customers, and customers jostle to get their attentions, if not to be the first, then at least to be in what they consider proper order. It's interesting to hear customers complain that they should have been waited on before the person ahead of them, because they were there first. That customer believes he or she has been slighted, when in reality the employee probably did not know who was next in line, and the other customer may not have known either. For the complaining customer, the situation is similar to having your turn skipped and thinking it was done on purpose. Reacting to any given situation based on what we perceive the others want or don't want from us, or in some cases what we believe someone wants or is trying to do to us, puts us into the middle of the game. That doesn't make us bad people. It doesn't make us stupid either. What it does make us are people who have a difficult time choosing what to do when faced with peer pressure. Jesus was a special man who didn't play the game, letting peer pressure dictate what he said or did. He wasn't in it to win it, seeing life as him versus the rest of the world. If truth be told, although there are a lot of conflicts reported in the scripture between Jesus and many others, Jesus had no opponents. He had no need to weigh how others might react to him, nor did he do everything he could to get ahead. What he did have was a desire to show all of us how life is supposed to be played. I was watching an episode of Joan of Arcadia a while back, and there was a bit of dialogue that really caught my attention. In the scene, Joan is playing chess with God. She has no idea how to play chess and really doesn't care to learn. However, God has given her a special lesson she must complete that includes playing chess. After Joan complains once again that she doesn't understand the game, God patiently tells her that the trick to playing chess is not to play your opponent's game, it's to play your own. In another scene, Joan's brother says much the same thing about basketball, widening her understanding from just chess to all games. She's still confused, but when she later encounters some schoolmates who are pressuring her into doing something she doesn't really want to do, understanding suddenly dawns. Life is like a game. You can spend all your energy and time reacting to what others around you do or say, or you can play your own game and do what's best for you. Jesus played his own game. He didn't let anyone pressure him into doing anything other than what he was destined to do. Even when the idea to bow to pressure was very tempting, he still did what he believed in. In this scripture, Jesus is not literally calling Peter Satan. Jesus is reminding himself that he doesn't need to bow to peer pressure. He's reminding himself that he has no opponents, not even the devil himself. For him, winning the game of life was doing exactly what he was meant to do, what was best for him and for us. That's one reason, among many, why Jesus has become the best example for us on how to play our life's game. Life becomes so much simpler when we stop reacting to what others tell us we should or shouldn't do. Stop concerning ourselves over who is getting ahead or left behind. Stop thinking in terms of us against the world. Reaching our personal goals, our dreams, maybe even our destinies, becomes a real possibility when we begin doing what is best for us rather than facing off with opponents. It's like learning to win at Chinese checkers. When you realize that it doesn't matter what move the other players make, your choice of moves becomes a multitude of options. You no longer have to depend on what someone else will or won't do. The game becomes fun if you no longer worry about who is winning. And life becomes rich with possibilities when you realize you have no opponents. It's time for each of us to become more like Jesus. Do what's best for you. Play your own game.